talking about. James David Manning, yeah, had him on about a year ago. So he's definitely carrying the torch, and I hope more people of color, more African Americans, begin to speak out. But there's a lot of intimidation tactics that people use in their own circle to intimidate people. Oh, you're talking bad about Obama. You know, I had some fool call my TV show laughing. Why are you talking bad about Obama? Why are you talking bad about... I'll tell you why I'm talking bad about Obama. You retard, 9/11 was an inside job. We're still slaves to the military-industrial complex. The banker got $28 trillion. What's wrong with you, dumbass? What, your mommy, like, dropping you intentionally on your head repeatedly as a small child? What is your malfunction?
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Hello, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Welcome to Sunday Update for this 11th day of April 2010. And now for the real news. NSA wiretapping is in the headlines once again as Federal District Court Judge Vaughn Walker found the government acted illegally in wiretapping an Islamic charity's phone calls in 2004.
A federal judge has ruled the National Security Agency's warrantless surveillance program was illegal and in violation of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Chief Judge Vaughn Walker of the Federal District Court in San Francisco ruled the government illegally intercepted the phone calls of an Oregon-based Islamic charity called Al-Haramain in 2004. Both the Bush and Obama administrations had tried to dismiss the suit, claiming a trial could result in the release of state secrets. But Judge Walker rejected the state secrets argument. Attorney John Eisenberg said the ruling marks, quote, an implicit repudiation of the Bush-Cheney theory of executive power.
The NSA wiretapping case first broke when it was reported in the New York Times in December of 2005.
The story, which revealed that the NSA was helping the Bush DOJ to bypass the FISA court and obtain wiretaps without a warrant, proved that President Bush had lied to the American people in 2004 about how his administration authorized wiretaps of terror suspects.
Secondly, there are such things as roving wiretaps. Now, by the way, anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretap, a wiretap requires a court order. Nothing has changed, by the way. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so. It's important for our fellow citizens to understand, when you think Patriot Act, constitutional guarantees are in place when it comes to doing what is necessary to protect our homeland because we value the Constitution.
In 2007, then-Senator Barack Obama claimed to be against the illegal warrantless wiretapping program.
I will provide our intelligence and law enforcement agencies with the tools they need to track and take out the terrorists without undermining our Constitution and our freedom. That means no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens. No more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime. No more tracking citizens who do nothing more than protest a misguided war. No more ignoring the law when it is inconvenient. That is not who we are.
After taking office, however, his administration not only embraced the practice, but in fact went even further than the Bush administration in arguing that the state secrets privilege precluded the subject from even being discussed in court.
I think that right now the Bush people are bringing out their mission accomplished sign because they've not only gotten Obama to protect Bush and Cheney and others from any criminal investigation on torture, but he's now gone even further than they did in the protection of unlawful surveillance. And so this is the ultimate victory for the Bush officials. They have Barack Obama adopting the same extremist arguments and, in fact, exceeding the extremist arguments made by President Bush.
Although the focus of the NSA spying story is often the wiretap of certain terror suspects, it was in fact revealed in 2004 that the NSA had built secret backdoors into major telecommunications hubs of companies like AT&T and was splitting the pipes so they could secretly copy and monitor all email and phone traffic passing through the United States.
An AT&T whistleblower today told members of Congress much more than that is at stake with the secret crimes that took place at room 641A of AT&T's Folsom Street facility in San Francisco and potentially at others across the country. Specifically, retired 22-year AT&T technician Mark Klein says that despite Mr. Bush's claims, the U.S. government used AT&T's cooperation to spy not only on overseas communications, but to vacuum up virtually all of America's use of the Internet for years. Email, Googling, web surfing, you name it. Thanks to AT&T's secure rooms like 641A in San Francisco, accessible only to those cleared by the NSA. Klein obtaining AT&T schematics showing how the company used splitters to send secure room 641A a duplicate of every fiber optic signal routed through its facilities. And involved not just AT&T customers, but virtually every Internet and telecommunications company, and virtually all email and web traffic in the country. Without a warrant, without any mechanism for separating domestic from overseas, without separating suspect from citizen.
The NSA's use of these backdoors to spy on all telecommunications traffic in the U.S. was not a part of the war on terror, as commonly argued. In reality, the program had nothing to do with 9/11 or terrorism, but was in fact federally mandated in 1994 in a law known as the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act. This act forced telecoms companies to use equipment and software that would allow the federal government to monitor all communications in the country in real time. The most recent decision by Judge Walker is currently being analyzed by the Obama Department of Justice, who are expected to appeal it. In other news this week, a draconian new bill to allow the UK government to ban citizens from the internet for violating copyright laws was rushed through the UK Parliament last Tuesday.
The bill's aimed at ensuring the UK's at the cutting edge of the global digital economy. It includes a clampdown on illegal file sharing, a push for a switch over to digital radio, and tougher laws to stop children getting hold of violent video games. But its detractors see it as draconian. It would give internet service providers the power to disconnect entire households from the web for illegal file sharing.
The bill was opposed by many online civil rights activists who fear that it will give the government too much power in indiscriminately disconnecting the public from vast swaths of the internet, potentially even affecting sites like YouTube, where copyrighted material is available for free viewing. Earlier this week, the Corbett Report talked to Hannah Lansborough, a campaigner with 38degrees.org.uk, about how activists can continue fighting against similar legislation that is being considered in multiple countries around the world.
And I think globally, there are a number of very compelling campaigns. I mean, it's something where people really need to look at their own domestic campaigning organisations who are working on this, because this isn't something at the moment that has an international movement behind it. So it's really looking at organisations who are working on these issues at home. And it's terribly important that wherever you are in the world, you're kind of fighting to make sure that these freedoms are respected, because actually, you know, the internet is a global phenomenon, and if these kind of erosions of freedoms sort of take a hold globally, then we will find that the internet is becoming a very, very different place and a much less rich and exciting place to spend your free time.
TalkTalk, one of Britain's leading ISP providers, has already indicated that it will fight orders by the UK government to disconnect its customers' accounts in court. Finally this week, the UN is continuing its quest for unelected world government with another climate change conference, this time in Bonn, Germany.
The United Nations, having abjectly failed at Copenhagen in December of 2009 to impose upon the world a totally unnecessary, wickedly expensive, democracy-destroying world government treaty, has now decided to hold an emergency meeting of states parties to the United Nations Framework Convention at Bonn, and there, 7 months before the next Cancun round of treaty negotiations, they are going to try to stitch together a deal to take democracy and freedom and prosperity away worldwide forever, and to make themselves very, very rich, and to make you who are watching this video very, very poor.
The meeting is meant to help negotiators form a basis for another round of climate talks in Cancun this December. The last round of climate talks in Copenhagen was supposed to form the basis for a successor deal to the Kyoto Accord, but ended in dismal failure as the talks fell apart. In recent months, poll after poll has shown that the ClimateGate scandal and other problems with the UN IPCC has deeply affected public opinion about climate change. A Rasmussen poll conducted on the eve of the Copenhagen talks last December found that a staggering 59% of Americans believe it likely that scientists have falsified data about global warming to justify their own theories and beliefs.